estás en Cancún?
Porque soy militante global y crítica, y no creo en diversiones. Eso es para los fresas.
Entonces, ¿tú eres uno de esos locos de mente que vienen a arrasar con la ciudad?
Al contrario, es la OMS que quiere destruir todo.
¿Pero que no el libre comercio es bueno para Cancún?
No, mi chavo. El libre comercio solo es bueno para los dueños extranjeros de los hoteles. Los de la OMC son activistas también, pero ellos trabajan para concentrar la riqueza en pocas manos a costa de muchos.
¡Órale! Eres muy apasionada.
¡Claro! Todas las mexicanas somos muy apasionadas.
Entonces, ¿por qué usas una plaza montaña?
Porque no quiero terminar toda chamuscada.
Creo que yo tengo mucho de aprender sobre el capitalismo global.
You're tuned to WTO, Radio Cancun, and now we go live, en vivo, to Kilometer Zero and the Zona Hotelera.
¡Los compañeros! ¡Vamos a destruir! ¡Vamos a terminar de acabar! ¡Vamos a acabar con esta malla! ¡Maldita malla que impusieron! ¡Que ya no podemos tener ni siquiera la libertad!
Appears a member of the Korean South Korean delegation has had a heart attack, falling off of the fence. Apparently, has had a heart attack. People are throwing things over the chain link fence at the police. Koreans have lit their altar that they've lit their altar that they've been carrying on fire and rammed it now against the fence. People, it's burning against the fence. People are throwing things over the fence. Cloths that are on the fence are now on fire. The police are holding up their shields. They're being pelted by paint. And now police are beginning to respond by, it looks like, spraying tear gas over the fence. People are moving back out of the way. And it is becoming an increasingly tense situation here. These people are throwing bricks and various articles over the fence, sticks. And now the Korean altar that was carried during the parade yesterday, and that they've been ramming against the fence, is now on fire against the fence. And police are beginning to spray some sort of foam, apparently trying to put out the various signs that are on the fence, trying to put them out, since they are now laying across the top of the chain link fence and burning here at the Zona Hotelera in Cancun, Mexico. Police and demonstrators are actually battling each other now, throwing rocks. Sometimes police are throwing rocks and sticks back at the demonstrators. And it's almost in some ways like a boxing match, only armed with sticks, clubs, now pieces of metal, pieces of concrete. Police are being seriously pelted by objects. Demonstrators surge. They've actually taken over and confiscated a couple of police shields. Demonstrators surge, throw a few strikes at the police. Police surge, throw a few strikes at the demonstrators. Now, people are climbing over the fence. But one section of the fence is now down. And people have yet to begin streaming through it. But certainly, the police barrier is beginning to break down. More and more people are beginning to move through the barrier of the fence. A police officer has been caught, and people are attempting to attack him.
Por la soberanía alimentaria, queremos la agricultura. Queremos que la OMC salga de la agricultura. Estamos defendiendo los derechos de la soberanía alimentaria de nuestros pueblos, nuestro maíz, nuestro campesino.
The demonstrators are pulling down more and more of the fence, being urged to pull the fence down and have everyone go in by speakers from a nearby truck.
Esta reja va cayendo en estos momentos. La solidaridad derrumba las rejas impuestas. Vamos todos a terminar de destruir esta ignominia que hoy en las calles de Cancún nos han impuesto para proteger a los que hoy se ponen de acuerdo para el exterminio campesino, porque queremos seguir viviendo, porque no queremos vivir encarcelados, porque no queremos vivir con rejas. Ayuden todos, 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 todos a empujar, a empujar, a empujar, a empujar, a empujar. Esta reja ya va cayendo. Estamos a unos cuantos momentos, a unos minutos de que finalmente la reja de la ignominia caiga para dar paso a nuestras ideas libertarias, para dar paso a nuestra lucha que se globaliza hoy aquí en Cancún.
Demonstrators are now face to face with a section of the fence down with riot-clad police and plexiglass shields, beating shields with sticks. A demonstrator just broke a stick over a policeman's helmet. Leaders of the campesino movement are coming in to, I think, try to calm the situation down as a rainstorm is making its way through right now. Campesino leaders are putting themselves in between the demonstrators and the police, attempting to stop people from the physically assaulting the police who are standing in riot gear with their shields. And now a major downpour is coming through the area.
Friends of the Via Campesina, please stop. We now have an agreement to pass the barrier. Please stop. We have an agreement to pass the barrier.
You say that there's an agreement now the police are going to let us pass?
Now that we've more or less thrown down the barrier, they finally negotiated allowing us to pass this first security perimeter. So hopefully the campesinos and indigenous people here in this march will be able to get at least now to the next level of security towards the convention center.
We would soon learn two things at kilometer zero at the beginning of the Zona Hotelera in Cancun, Mexico. One, that the agreement Peter Rossett of Food First just told us about would soon fall through. And two, that Lee Kyung-hai, the South Korean farmer we thought had a heart attack while on top of the barricades, had actually committed suicide to protest the World Trade Organization. This on September 10th, 2003, as the World Trade Organization opened its fifth ministerial conference in Cancun, Mexico. I'm your host, Mike Thornton, and we hope you'll stay tuned. 8 days prior, I had come to Cancun to participate in a global exchange reality tour and then cover the fifth ministerial meetings of the World Trade Organization. I had covered the now famous battle in Seattle in 1999, but this time would be very different because I'd be going to the Yucatan Peninsula of southern Mexico. I'd have an opportunity to see firsthand what effect the policies of corporate-led economic globalization being promulgated by the World Trade Organization we're having on people outside the United States. And I can only say that in many cases, they're simply devastating. There couldn't have been a more appropriate place for the World Trade Organization to hold its summit than Cancun, Mexico. Cancun was created as a tourist destination some 30 years ago. Prior to that, it had been a collection of fishing villages located on the Caribbean Ocean. The city is basically divided into two sections: El Centro, where many of the working people of Cancun reside, and then there's the Zona Hotelera, which is made up of opulent hotels, high-priced restaurants, and other tourist traps. The city exists to serve the Zona, and it's almost the perfect example of the fully privatized world that the World Trade Organization and its policies support. With enough money, you can live in royal splendor with literally everything at your fingertips. Without it, life is a daily struggle for survival. And while I saw many examples of that juxtaposition while I was in southern Mexico, there was perhaps no clearer example of it than the morning I spent in Valle Verde. Valle Verde is a small village that's located only 12 kilometers outside of Cancun and yet has no water or electricity. Many of the people who live there work at jobs located in the Zona Hotelera. Since most of the construction taking place in the Zona had been halted because of the WTO meetings, even though they had jobs, some of the people in Valle Verde had been unable to work for as long as 10 days. And as you can imagine, no work means no money, and no money means no food. And it was the very issue of food that brought me to Valle Verde. In the press area of the Cancun Convention Center, where the World Trade Organization ministerial meetings are being held, press releases of one sort or another from one group or another are constantly being handed out. I got one inviting journalists to come with a group of free trade advocates who said they were going to be bringing food to Valle Verde and that all of that food would be genetically engineered. When arriving in Valle Verde, we were greeted by the sounds of laughing children coming out of a ramshackle schoolhouse in the middle of this dilapidated village. It didn't take long for things to change.
It's not that GM is the solution to all the world's problems, but the GM can be helpful, is one of many tools in the toolbox for improving agriculture, and it shouldn't be simply because it is new.
Gregory Conko is with the Competitive Enterprise Institute.
I'd like you to record this. How did you decide that you were going to give GMO to this community? Is this community aware that they're receiving, that they're now test animals for the GMs?
They're not test animals. This is the same sorts of food that are purchased in and around Cancun every day. This is food that was a
GM food that you brought here specifically to have a press conference and stick this food down the throats of the people here.
It's obviously staged. We're not sticking food down anyone's throat. This is food that is available freely. This is the food that has been distributed by La Ciudad de Alegria
for
months and years previously, and that this is the kind of food that has been distributed throughout the area long before we came into the city.
You're absolutely misusing people here who are poor and using them as test animals for GM food without their knowledge, and I think this is absolutely
Let me get your name, please.
My name is Mai, and I'm from the U.S., and I'm here to protest this because I think this is absolutely disgusting.
We were advised by the local charitable organization with which we're working on which food products to purchase. Most of them are not genetically modified. Some of them, the maize products, probably do include GM ingredients, but these are the kinds of things that they've been eating for years.
In addition to members of the Competitive Enterprise Institute and other organizations coming to Valle Verde for a photo opportunity, a number of anti-GMO activists made their way to the village as well, and the dusty village square became an ideological battleground.
In order to get the picture, you have propaganda for the transgenic corn. We're going to hand out the food. We're not... Back of the truck.
Are you actually going to give this food out?
Or? We're the ones who are giving it out. The Collegians for a Constructive Tomorrow, a Washington, D.C.-based nonprofit public interest group.
I just want to know why members of your organization went over and tore down these folks' sign. Don't they have a right to say what they want to say, too?
They are not with our organization.
They are not with our organization.
No person with our insurance did that.
No one is not with your organization has the right to post.
No, they have a organization. We did not tear down their sign. I did not tear down their sign.
I didn't say you tore down their sign, but I saw somebody tore down their sign.
They shouldn't be tearing down any signs.
Somebody in the orange that tore down their sign, we will confront them and tell them they shouldn't have done that.
Apparently that's the message. Just videotape. Get videotape of the food being handed out. And don't pay attention to anything that's inconvenient or problematic appears to be the watchword by the Competitive Enterprise Institute here in Valley Verde today.
My name is Cyril Boynes. I'm Director of International Affairs for the same organization, CORE. This is not the first time I've done something like this. And I've seen something like this to have a lot of meaning in Liberia, in Uganda,
Nigeria.
In South Africa, Nigeria, and where I'm from, the Virgin Islands. This looks like a village that I grew up in, the Virgin Islands. And I'll never forget the day when some people, you know, we had our cornmeal and our fish. They brought me some Kool-Aid and some cereal and some apples. And that changed my life. They didn't come every day, but it gave me an idea of what was available. And I don't know what my parents did. I was too young. I was about 6 years old, but I'll never forget that. This is not a panacea. What we hope is to create a model that, sort of like a paradigm, that other people can follow. We're touching the people. I'll be back here next year again. I'm going to find me a family that I'm going to relate to throughout for the rest of my life here.
Well, let me ask you this. I mean, certainly feeding people is a good thing. Let me ask you this.
Yes.
Feeding people is a good thing. Can't argue with that. But
okay.
Why the emphasis on genetically modified food? Why that emphasis?
It's not an emphasis so much on genetically modified food. It's an emphasis on letting people have choices. We're trying to anti-demonize genetically modified food and allow people of the developing world to have the same choice that Americans exercise every day.
But the press release that was handed out at the World Trade Organization yesterday specifically said all the food that would be brought here was genetically altered in one way or another.
There's so much food that people are not even aware of that is genetically engineered or genetically manipulated one way or the other. People have a belief that certain food is organic and they have elements such as oil, corn oil, that is in it that is genetically altered or genetically modified. The question is, what is more important? A theoretical, she was talking about, you have to wait some 20 years, it will be proven that this... People are starving right now, not 20 years from now, right now.
You know,
why aren't they hungry? Why aren't they hungry? Because their traditional agriculture doesn't survive.
Yes, because you have contaminated their traditional agriculture. Monsanto has contaminated their traditional agriculture. None of those brands carry anything with Monsanto. It has a Kellogg's thing that I can see, or it has something else, something Mexican that I can see. I don't know if those companies are owned by Monsanto or anybody else. I'm not interested. I'm only interested when I ask these people, that do they recognize these brands? They said they recognize these brands because they are Mexican brands. They've been buying it all the time.
Sí. Y usted sabe quién es esa persona? No. He says that he knows that they were told by one particular person, like they were invited by somebody to come here, and that this person told them that they should come to this community because it's a very poor community, but he doesn't know who that person is.
And he's from this community?
Yes.
Could you just give his name?
No, puede dar su nombre, por favor, pero si no quiere estar bien tampoco. También.
Mario Vázquez Vázquez.
¿Sí? ¿Sí? ¿Cómo?
Mario Vázquez Vázquez.
Mario Vázquez Vázquez. His name is Mario Vázquez. He said, I don't understand why they feel like they need to come and step on us. It's humiliating.
Did he have any opinion on whether it's GM food or not?
Yeah, we were just asking him earlier what he thought about the fact that, you know, that this might be GM food, and he said that he thinks it's disgusting, first of all, because they've come, like he sees it, these companies have come and stolen Mexican corn, because you know that the old Mayan fable is that this is the original home of corn, right? And that the Mayans are the people of the corn. And that they've come and they've stolen their food and they've taken it north and they've manipulated it and they've modified it and now are sending it back to them. And he thinks that it's an abuse, and what they're trying to do here is that they're trying to manipulate them and use them for their own gain, and that in the end they get nothing from it except a bag of food that they don't know is safe.
One of the things that keeps being said over and over out here by some people is that Monsanto is funding this, or at least contributing.
to the funding to the of this. Is that happening, yes or no? Monsanto or any of these other companies that are involved in profiting from genetic engineering of food have nothing, no investment in this happening whatsoever.
That is true. They have no involvement, no investment. They, as far as I know, they don't even know that this is happening.
Monsanto don't have nothing to do with this?
That's correct. Nothing at all.
Not for Monsanto or maybe another group of lobbyists of the Congress, maybe, I don't know.
In the past, my organization, I'll be honest, has gotten some money from Monsanto. Very small amounts, but not recently. And
How not recently?
Not in the past 18 months.
Did you say you've gotten money from Monsanto?
What did Monsanto give you money for? Why did they do that?
My organization does work on a lot of different regulatory issues. I have to assume that they thought that our work on GM foods was valuable, worthy of their support. We don't take money to do specific projects. We set our own agenda, and we encourage people to give us money. At some point, I'm sure Monsanto decided that they thought what we did was worthy of their support.
You work on primarily on deregulation issues?
That's correct.
And what's your name, please?
My name is Gregory Conko, C-O-N-K-O.
The organization that Mr. Conko represents, as we noted earlier, is the Competitive Enterprise Institute. This specific project was being sponsored by an organization known as CFACT. There were several young people wearing CFACT t-shirts in Valley Verde that day, and interestingly, they seemed to have little idea how they got there.
I don't know the name of them, but I can show you somebody who works with them, and you can find their exact name. But we got in touch with them, and they work here on a regular basis. This is the food that they recommended bringing that they give to these people regularly.
What is CFACT? What is that?
Well, the college part that we're with is the Collegians for a Constructive Tomorrow, and it's a group that is very much, it's an environmentalist group as well, but we're interested more in free trade and that aspect of bringing people up to prosperity, and that's the best environmental, you know, help is that when people have prosperity, they take better care of the earth and better care of the environment, and we think that's the approach to use. We just, you know, met up with this group here that works with them, and we admit that we don't know everything these people are going through because we don't live here and we don't see them every day, but the charity that's here does, and they work with them on a regular basis, and so we kind of trusted them that they know the best approach and what to do and what to help them with and what they're going to need.
Sure. What's your name?
Courtney Forsell.
In the end, of course, the people of Valley Verde, being as poor as they are, took the food that was offered that day. KVMR's Carolyn Crane was also in Cancun and Valley Verde as well. She told me that as she was leaving Valley Verde, she waved goodbye to a boy who was approximately 8 years old. She said that he wasn't laughing. She said that from the look he gave her, she believed he knew exactly what was going on and that he and his people were being exploited. She said she thought that he might use that awareness and anger to become the next Che Guevara. I said perhaps, or perhaps the next Osama bin Laden, or perhaps one day an angry man who goes to work every day in Zona Hotelera comes back to Valley Verde and beats his wife and children. I left Valley Verde that day hoping that the people of this village realized that I was neither a free trade advocate or an environmental activist. My name is Mike Thornton, and we're in Cancun, Mexico, for the 5th ministerial meetings of the World Trade Organization. Inside the World Trade Organization ministerial meetings, U.S. Trade Representative Richard Zolick and Secretary of Agriculture Ann Veneman told a packed press conference that the United States was prepared to be ambitious when it came to further trade agreements. There's no question at such events that when the United States speaks, the world listens, whether it wants to or not. The U.S. press briefings at the World Trade Organization meetings were highly controlled, and when Marilyn asked a question about genetically engineered food and biotechnology, Ann Veneman gave in essence the same answer that she had given at a biotechnology symposium held in Sacramento, California a few months earlier. Veneman said these technologies were necessary to feed the hungry masses of the world, at the same time that the United States, the European Union, and others were putting their version of the issues in front of members of the press. All around Cancun, numerous alternative forums were being held. One of those, being sponsored by the International Forum on Globalization, was being held at the Teatro Cancun in the Zona Hotelera. The IFG is made up of a group of internationally known authors, activists, and intellectuals who've been battling corporate-led globalization for years. One of the people who qualifies in all three of those categories is Dr. Vandana Shiva.
The World Trade Organization, the corporations that use it as their unilateral instrument, the countries and powerful countries that support this unilateralism, would love to have their version of the story as the only version that's told, that World Trade Organization rules are removing poverty, increasing prosperity in the third world, when we know in our experience they're creating poverty, they're annihilating our farmers, they are depriving us of our fundamental rights to our seeds, our biodiversity, our knowledge, our water. And I'm here to make sure that the pain, the tragedy, the genocide that's on is there as a counter. I'm here as a witness of the devastation this institution has caused. And I'm here to offer solidarity to movements that are fighting against it. The main things that will be going on at the meeting will be the overt speeches of ministers and behind the scene threats, blackmails, bribes to split the group of 20 that has organized to challenge the U.S. position in the WTO on agriculture. The U.S. managed to get Europe on board to pretend to have an agreement when at the same time the U.S. is suing Europe on the GMO issue. So they pretend to be making peace when they're actually making war. What will go on behind the scene is basically countries will be offered false promises once again in order to create markets for the Cargills and the Conagras and the Monsantos. We see the U.S. administration and the U.S. trade representative and the WTO as nothing but arms of the global gene giants and the global green giants.
Ann Veneman is saying in the meeting today, as she was saying in the meeting in Sacramento, California, that biotech and genetically engineered food is necessary to feed the world so people won't be starving.
I would like Ann Veneman to visit the farms where the genetically engineered cotton in India totally failed, leaving farmers with losses of ₹1 billion. I'd like to take her to the poor state of Bihar, where Monsanto's corn totally failed, leaving farmers there with losses of ₹4 billion. I'd like to take Ann Veneman to the homes of farmers where there have been suicides because the false promises of these corporations have trapped farmers into debt, left them with totally unreliable seed, losses of ₹6,400 per acre instead of the ₹10,000 per acre promises, yields of 200 kilograms instead of the 1,500 kilograms. The reality is very, very different. Globalized agriculture, corporate control agriculture is creating starvation. It's pushing our farmers to suicide, and it is destroying the capacity of the world to produce food. Everywhere in the world, food production is on a decline. And normally, when food production is on a decline, prices should rise for farmers. But prices are also on a decline because these corporations control the market and want to buy cheap. Our calculations show that this trade system, with Ann Veneman and Zolik, are pushing in the name of third world farmers and our poverty, is actually robbing Indian farmers in seven commodities alone of 1.2 trillion rupees, $26 billion annually in terms of lost incomes, which means increased poverty.
The IFG is made up primarily of the elite of the worldwide anti-corporate globalization movement, and in some areas is criticized for not having enough connection to grassroots movements. But that didn't stop Mexican authorities from attempting to derail the IFG's day-long teach-in event at the Teatro Cancun. Jerry Mander, himself an internationally renowned author and activist, is the president of the International Forum on Globalization.
In the first hour of our event this morning, the roads were blocked by the police on both sides, that is to say about 2 kilometers in one direction and about 2 kilometers in the other direction. And buses could not get through, and whatever vehicles did get through were not allowed to stop here. And mysteriously, also, some very odd thing happened, which was that the local Cancun radio, kept carrying announcements that our teach-in had been canceled and not to go there. And so the gigantic turnout we expected from the local campesina community and the indigenous community was, by the time we could get the word back out that that's not true, and by the time the roadblocks stopped, we lost a lot of our audience, and I feel like that's really tragic. I mean, we had a good day, and a pretty good crowd, you know, did build later when the roads opened again, but it really took a bite out of things, and it was very depressing. And we don't know, we'd love to know where that instruction came from. The event itself was a success, and we did get an audience finally, but, you know, big part of the day was people weren't able to see a big part of the day. It was terrible. We presented 35 speakers from 15 countries to talk about all of the aspects of globalization that are causing problems and what we can do about it and the alternatives to globalization. And it was quite an amazing array of speakers. And it's the same as we did in Seattle 4 years ago, where we had a gigantic crowd. And people really love these events, and it's a shame that we had this interference.
You're tuned to WTO Radio Cancun, where no false announcements are made. I'm Mike Thornton. The anti-corporate globalization movement is truly diverse. In addition to the International Forum on Globalization, there are literally thousands of non-governmental organizations or NGOs from all around the world. There are street activists, indigenous people, and campesinos. Global Exchange is another internationally known organization that fights for social and economic justice around the world. One of the things that I learned on the GX Reality tour was that many of Mexico's small farmers are working to defend their agricultural practices. This includes some very creative organic farming and the work of campesino organizations like UNORCA.
We're in the state of Quintana Roo, in the town of Carrillo Puerto. We're at the main offices for this state of the UNORCA, and the UNORCA is the national organizations of regional campesino farmers in autonomous regions.
And they're gathering here to have their own sort of alternative WTO meeting.
This is correct. Today's particularly, it was a workshop for a few of the different commissioners of their ejido land holdings to come and learn a little bit more about how to work with their products in a more fair trade, more alternative manner. They are also gearing up for the big protest and the big campesino farmers forum that's going to be happening in Cancun.
Most campesino farmers are against an increase in globalized trade or an increase in the powers of the WTO?
Definitely, because most of these people that you'll see here are all small producers and don't have the capital to compete with the other actual major organizations that are out there. the ones that actually have a lot of clout within the WTO and actually have a lot of the regulations pushed towards their side. The right side of the party is looking at possibly putting out an article that might dissuade campesinos from coming and participating in it, kind of a fear tactic of sorts. And it is something that they do really think about, because in the end, they're the ones that actually do have to stay here and live here and work with here. But there is a lot of hope and there is a lot of trust in that by organizing in this manner, they will be strong enough to stay together and stay strong and really achieve their goals.
That's Claudia Rodriguez, one of our guides and interpreters, talking with a BBC reporter. The BBC reporter joined us on our trip to the Mayan zone, located some 250 kilometers outside of Cancun. And while many Mexican nationals are afraid to protest because of the fear of possible government reprisal, UNORCA was urging its members to participate in the grand march to protest the World Trade Organization. UNORCA is part of Via Campesina, the largest peasant and farmer organization in the world. The South Korean Farmers Organization, of which Lee Kyung-hai was a member, is also part of Via Campesina. Mr. Lee committed suicide by stabbing himself in the heart in order to protest the World Trade Organization meetings on the opening day of the Fifth Ministerial. With his act, Lee Kyung-hai put a human face on the issues being debated and demonstrated against here in Cancun. Members of UNORCA would help to lead an over 5,000-person march to protest the World Trade Organization, made up of campesinos from all over Mexico and beyond. It was rumored that police agents were infiltrating almost every counter-WTO activity that was taking place. Police were patrolling the streets of Cancun day and night, and at kilometer zero, I saw at least one federal police officer videotaping protest participants. I asked Claudia Rodriguez about the possibility that these folks were facing possible retribution after the World Trade Organization meetings were over.
In more rural areas, that ramification can actually be something that's really real, because again, it's not a place where you have a lot of media attention and a lot of folks kind of looking at you. You can look at just the example of Chiapas that, you're in a rural area, but there's a lot of world focus on what's going on in Chiapas, so folks are a little bit more open to be able to participate without really feeling a backlash. In other places, like here in Cancun, that does not have much of a social NGO or organizational support, it might get a little bit more interesting. We hope that won't be the case, but it's something that does actually have to be considered.
The ejido system is a system of collective land ownership, and these ejido deeds are handed down from generation to generation. It's on these ejido lands that these farmers, whose primary language is Mayan, not Spanish, work to feed their families, assist each other, and grow crops to market to the outside world. Through Tara, another interpreter, a representative of UNORCA, talks about the organization and literally its philosophical roots.
Miembros de la Organización Mundial del Comercio y aquí en el estado de Quintana Roo se asienta en estas oficinas que se encuentran aquí. Se asienta la base principal de la UNORCA, de la Unión Nacional.
Good afternoon. I would like to introduce myself. I am the engineer Marcelo Carrion Mundo. And we here at UNORCA are members of, working in the commercial world. This is our principal base here. And we are known as the National Union of Regional Autonomous Campesinos. This organization was started 20 years ago, and it was started in order for us to be able to organize and work together better to preserve our natural resources and conserve our biodiversity. And this is to ensure that we would always be able to be fed by the forest where we get our food. We also work to receive prices at a fair wage. And we're here organizing and working together to learn new things and to interchange our experiences. We have been affected, and the campesinos have been affected, by institutions and people interested in primarily exploiting campesinos and taking us for granted. But now, through UNORCA, we are better prepared, and we're able to organize ourselves in a more efficient manner so that we can now work for our own interests. This list here is a list of the 35 communally owned
lands that we have in the organization. And the majority of these ejidos are indigenous. The projects that we have are animal production, handwork and craft production, agricultural production. We also do projects with women and working with elders. We also work with students in these communities as well. And these communities, through Norca, are learning how they can best use and manage their resources and get the most from their own lands and learn to be more self-sufficient, taking the resources that they have and then inverting it back within their own community economy. Some of the other work that we're doing with UNORCA and with the technical advisors that work with us are reforestation projects and forest evaluation projects to determine the amount of ecological impact that these forests have had, as well as how can we evaluate better and assess at the state our forests are at, and how much in turn we're able to harvest from our forest in a more sustainable manner. We also are working with the women to integrate them and to also promote their importance in the household and community economies through these projects. Here again, we're returning back to the tree. And as you can see, the root part is really strong. This is our general scheme for work that we would like to be taking part of. And you can see that here the roots need to be strong in order to sustain the rest of the tree. And again, we are looking at the different components that make up the roots. Is we need to have studies and research done in conjunction with the technical advisors that work with us. We also need to be trained at how we can do our own investigations. We are being trained in ways that we can better use our lands. There's also the diffusion and communication, not only to get our word out, but between our communities as well, so that we can network better and strengthen our bases. We also are working on organizing and planning and administration. We're also working on commercialization of our products, where the producer is not only producing, but that he is given the tools so he can commercialize his product as well and get a fairer price. And also looking for funding and projects that we're looking for funding and projects that would be more sustainable.
Under a blazing sun and in the hard scrabble earth, the farmers of this ejido, known as Ishmaben, work organically to grow several crops. One of those crops, pitaya, takes as long as 3 years to produce fruit. Pitaya, also known as dragon fruit, is one of the crops that brings much-needed currency into this community. These farmers are also working in the forest to produce numerous products, including wood, medicine, and chewing gum resin known as chicla. They're also working on developing a program of ecotourism. These people work extremely hard and are faced with almost insurmountable competition coming from foreign-based transnational corporations. They're also faced with a government that wants to move away from the ejido land system to a privatization model, and an encroaching modern civilization that's shredding the traditions by which they've lived for generation after generation. You're listening to WTO Radio Cancun. I'm Mike Thornton. There were numerous acts of civil disobedience in Cancun during the World Trade Organization meetings. These included about 30 naked people spelling out no to the World Trade Organization on one of Cancun's white sand beaches, bobblehead puppets of world leaders having a food fight, and the destruction of a Pizza Hut restaurant on Avenida Tulum in the city's El Centro section. It also included two separate incidents of blocking Kukulkan Boulevard, the main road serving the Zona Hotelera. In the first blockade, about 100 demonstrators closed down the road directly in front of the convention center where the WTO meetings were being held.
Libertad! 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 This is what democracy looks like. This is what democracy looks like. This is what democracy looks like. This is what democracy looks like.
Protesters held Kukulkan Boulevard for several hours before negotiating a settlement with police which would allow them to leave peacefully and avoid arrest. The second attempt to blockade Kukulkan Boulevard elicited a very different response from police. When members of the South Korean contingent attempted to block another section of Kukulkan Boulevard, police immediately began dragging them violently out of the street. And anyone who was in the way was apparently an open target for police as well, including this reporter.
Don't grab me.
Here.
No.
No,
I'm just a reporter. I'm trying to do my job.
Please.
You know?
Please, go. Go here.
You know? Go where? I'm just trying to do my job.
Luckily for everyone, higher authorities arrived on the scene quickly and told frontline officers to back off and allow the situation to cool down. Tensions were clearly rising on the street and inside the Cancun Convention Center as well. Once again, protesters made their way into the WTO meetings being held at the Convention Center in Cancun, Mexico. This time, featuring masks of U.S. Trade Representative Richard Zolik and European Union Representative Pascal Lamy.
The rich countries of the world and the corporations that control us hereby present this draft tax for you to submit to. It was written on our terms and for our benefit. You have less than 24 hours to respond to this agenda. You have less than 24 hours to respond. Let the green room begin. The United States and the European Union, via the fifth ministerial text that they have proposed, will be able to dominate the world more fully. This comes straight from my boss in Washington, D.C., George W. Bush!
On Sunday, September 14th, during a press conference being held by U.S. trade representatives, almost everyone was taken by surprise hearing that the fifth ministerial meetings of the World Trade Organization had collapsed.
That the whole ministry has collapsed.
Collapsed.
The whole.
Yes, congratulations.
Who is walking out now?
ACP.
ACP, they're the whole delegation
they,
is walking out.
They say that we are not ready to discuss.
Okay.
What is India's position?
India's position is very clear. No Singapore issues. India wants agreed issue to be dropped.
The African and Caribbean countries have pulled out of the negotiations.
For clarity, this fifth ministerial meeting of the World Trade Organization is over.
Chairman of the World Trade Organization meetings, Luis Ernesto Derbez of Mexico, announced that the talks had collapsed. The WTO meetings collapsed because the poor countries of the world said they were tired of being pushed around by economic giants like the European Union and the United States. Eamon Courtney is the Minister of Foreign Investment and Trade for the country of Belize.
It's not a place where we have been able to find this development, the economic advancement that was promised to us. We have therefore come to Cancun as we came to Doha to insist on a development engine to our economic progress. And we have arrived at the point, having analyzed the present ministerial text, that it is not in our interest.
You also asked the gathered audience to stand in memoriam of Lee Chung-ha, who lost his life here earlier protesting the World Trade Organization. Can you speak more to your thoughts about what he did?
It is a very sad event. And what I try to say is that the WTO, which includes all the members as well as the organization itself, must come to understand that when we sit in Geneva or we sit anywhere in Cancun for that matter, at the end of the day, we're talking about the livelihood of the average person around the globe. We can live and sit in fancy hotels, we can go to nice dinners, but at the end of the day, if we do not advance the cause of the poor, our work will not be a success. And so I thought that even though we had marked the passing of the second anniversary of September 11th and the passing of the Foreign Minister of Sweden, indeed the more important issue is the dispossessed. And his death, I thought, symbolized in the most stark way the divide between the rich and the poor, between the developed and the developing. And I hope that with some focus on what had happened there, those who, if I would describe them as being insensitive, will understand that there are many inside this conference as well as those outside this conference who are not happy with what has happened and what they're trying to do. And we are marking a line in the sand at this conference. They have a political mandate and so do we. But we also have an international and a humanitarian agreement, which is that those who are least off must be made better. And that is where I think the entire thinking and philosophy of the developed world is starting to be injected into the WTO and the multilateral system. And we have to insist on the social dimension, the consciousness that must temper the market forces, that tempers the economic powers. We are trying to bring that dimension to the forefront because we, as I said, we have witnessed it in bananas, we're about to witness it in sugar, and the signs on the horizon are not good unless we establish a human face to the WTO.
Anuradha Mittal is the director of Food First. She, like many other activists from around the world, have been battling the World Trade Organization and its neoliberal economic policies for years.
Developing countries have walked out. It's a slap on the face of the European Union and the United States, saying that they're not willing to be bought by the richest on earth, that they're not willing to sell the interests of the people to the corporations. So this is a victory for any social justice activists, for the immigrant rights activists, for the environmentalists, for the workers' rights people. This is a victory. This is a victory for Mr. Lee Keng Hey, who demonstrated to the world what the impact of World Trade Organization is on the people. So this is a victory in the name of Mr. Lee Keng here today.
Finally, we spoke with Maud Barlow, who's with the Council of Canadians, another non-governmental organization that has been battling with the World Trade Organization.
And we're joined again today by Maud Barlow of the Council of Canadians.
Hey!
And as you can hear, there are many people in the World Trade Organization meetings today who are very happy about what has gone on. And we're gonna try and continue our interview here with Maud Barlow in just a moment.
They rejected the model. They rejected the model. And you did good work. You did good work. All right, I'm sorry.
That's
it's a little bit.
I understand. That's okay.
And now Lamy has to resign. Lamy has to resign. We want to see Lamy. Where is Lamy?
All right.
Maud Barlow with the Council of Canadians. Maud, you're very happy. Lots of people are very happy in here today. What happened and why and what does it mean?
What happened today was that the South, the developing countries, plus global civil society worked together to formally reject the model. This is not like Seattle, although there are shades of it, but in Seattle, there were technicalities they got hung up on. In Doha, they got railroaded. Here, what happened is historic because they rejected the model. And that's, I really want to say that's the most important thing that happened here. They're not going to be able to get together and start off again business as usual. It isn't going to happen. What we have here is a total, complete disagreement about where the world's going. And the next time they meet, the United States and Canada and Europe are going to have to eat humble pie big time. They're going to have to start caring about livelihood, survival of farms, food security, clean water, delivering health care to people, and they're going to have to just tell their corporations to go chill out because they're that this model for their corporations was rejected by the whole world, and that's the victory. The victory isn't for us. The victory is for the people of the world who are going to sleep better tonight because this model, this inhumane model, was rejected.
Now that this model has been rejected, where do things go from here in the near term and perhaps the more far term, if you will?
Well, they're not going to give up, of course. They're going to go to their bilaterals or their regional agreements like the Free Trade Area of the Americas. But, you know, a lot of the countries that led this rejection are the same countries they have to negotiate with in Latin America. So it's not going to be so easy. I think there's going to be a new respect for what we've all been saying. I already feel it from the mainstream media saying, wait, this feels different, you know. So it's very, very, very exciting what's happened here. And I think it gives a whole new meaning to the concept that another world is possible. I mean, that's not just rhetoric. This world's collapsing. Another world really is possible.
Can you speak to the interplay between the leaders and ministers from the developing countries, the activities of NGOs, and then the activities of the people who've been in the street here in Cancun and other places, how those have all played together in this?
Well, I've been thrilled with how they played together. We all worked together ahead of time. Certainly civil society groups in their own home countries have been working for years to influence their government so that when they get here, they take a position that they took today. We've been working, those few of us are credentialed inside, are working very closely with the people on the streets. I've been on all the marches. I've been at the wall. I was in the march yesterday right at the wall. And so we've shown solidarity back and forth. It's been terribly important for that to happen. And that didn't just happen. That was planned. There was a lot of work that went into it, a lot of trust, and a lot of really, really good will.
Is there anything else you want to add?
I just want to thank you for caring and for your listeners to really, if they're activists or if they care about these issues, to realize that sometimes we do win. Sometimes we win really big. We won really big today.
And on that note, we conclude our broadcast from WTO Radio Cancun. I'm Mike Thornton. Today's program was made possible with support from community radio stations KMUD and KVMR in Los Estados Unidos, and with financial support from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Thanks also to independent journalist and producer Carolyn Crane for her contributions. And now we return to regular programming.
Estás en Cancún.
Porque soy militante global y crítica, y no creo en diversiones. Eso es para los fresas.
Entonces, ¿tú eres uno de esos locos de mente que vienen a arrasar con la ciudad?
Al contrario, es la OMS que quiere destruir todo.
Pero, ¿que no el libre comercio es bueno para Cancún?
No, mi chavo. El libre comercio solo es bueno para los dueños extranjeros de los hoteles. Los de la OMC son activistas también, pero ellos trabajan para concentrar la riqueza en pocas manos a costa de muchos.
¡Órale! Eres muy apasionada.
¡Claro! Todas las mexicanas somos muy apasionadas.
Entonces, ¿por qué usas una plaza montaña?
Porque no quiero terminar toda chamuscada.
Creo que yo tengo mucho de aprender sobre el capitalismo global.